Psalm 60. Yeah, we'll take up the offering in a minute. We're just going to go through a couple things here. Psalm 60. We're blessed to be in America, that's for sure. And I love America. I thank God for America. And I'm not one of them guys to get up and say, well, God's, you know, I can't wait for God to judge America. You know what? If God judges America, we're all in on it. We're all going to be judged. And I pray for America, that God would keep America free and that God would keep us safe and our children and our grandchildren, because of that, you know, it's coming down to the, it'll come down where if God judges America, then everybody's going to have sufferings in parts of that. I thank God for the stars and stripes, man. I thank God for, you know, the red, white, and blue. Red representing the blood, and blue the royalty, and white purity. And we read about God's people in the Bible in Psalm 60. It says, O God, thou hast cast us off and hast scattered us. And David's writing this, and I mean, here he is a prophecy, and it's a prophecy of the future, but also God did cast them off. You think about it. I watched what goes on in Israel because I want to see what's happening there, because I know Israel is kind of like I'll think of it in a minute. But I always watch to see what's going on in Israel because I want to see what's happening, and because it kind of judges what's going to happen in the future. And it says, O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased, O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Thou hast broken it? Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. And we've been seeing a lot of things happening in the world throughout your past 20, 25, 30 years. We've been seeing a lot of stuff go on. And that's why I pray for America. I pray, God, keep us free, keep us, you know, keep America help, and that's why we do our job, trying to witness and trying to win people to Jesus Christ. As thou hast showed thy people hard things, thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. And that's talking about the Jews, and you know, also going to go through the tribulation period. I can't imagine reading the Bible. You read it, and you think about that 7-year period of the Bible calls Daniel's time of Daniel's trouble. And or Jacob's trouble, and it talks about the time when God's going to judge the Jews and the world for 7 years, and all hell breaks loose. And when men said this is hell on earth, it's going to literally turn into hell on earth. And that's why it's important to reach the kids. You know, our church tries to reach children. That's why it's so important to reach them and trying to tell them about Jesus Christ. A lot of times we overlook little kids, and we overlook the things. And there was a kid that was here Sunday night. This little kid was sitting on the front row, and they came up and talked to me after church or before church. One of them said, I used to come to church here before. And he was like, what, 12, something like that now. And John brought him, that boy John, he brought him. And he goes, I used to go to church here years ago. He said, I remember that Sunday when you shot the bunny rabbit. And I said, I shot the bunny rabbit? He goes, yeah, didn't you remember the guy came down the aisle and you pulled a gun out and shot him? I don't remember. It was probably a fake thing we did about Easter Bunny, you know, coming in. I said, here comes the Easter Bunny. I was boom. Yeah, you know. That's right. It was you.
You said, I'll shoot him again.
No. But he, he remembered that. And here he is, 10, 11, 12 years old. I was like 5 years old when I came. He remembered that. Those little kids remember stuff, man. And he said, I said, man, where you been? And he said, well, my, you know, family and this and that. So we get a chance. We get a chance to reach the kids. We get a chance to make a difference. But why? Because something's coming. And if they don't have any hope, they don't have any trust in God, they're going to take the mark of the beast, they're going to follow the Antichrist and all that stuff. We want to make sure we get them saved. Get them in church, get them saved and all that. And that's why it's so important. That's that Sunday school, the vacation Bible school, the bus ministry, all that stuff's important. Why? We're reaching a generation that, man, that don't know God. That's being raised by a bunch of drug addicts and drunkards and people stuck on themselves and self-centered and Back in the day, you know, they say the greatest generation was the World War II generation, which, you know, every generation gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And they say the reason why the World War II generation was because they sacrificed everything for their country and for freedom. They sacrificed everything. America, we don't sacrifice nothing for nothing. We don't even want to sacrifice our time to come to church. And that's why they say that was the greatest generation. Because if you go back and look at the reels, you know, the clippings of when the World War II was going on, Chrysler shut down their plants and made tanks. And then Ford, I think, made tanks or planes or, whatever, jeeps, trucks. So the war, for the war effort to keep America free and the world. And like I said, I thank God for America. The old-timers, and Hillary Clinton said one time, we just need that old-timer to just die off so we can change. And they're pushing socialism. They're pushing this thing. We can see it coming. We can see this whole mess coming. And the Bible says in Psalm 60, it says, "Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink of wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee." The banner God's given us. God's given a banner. You know, we got America, the banner, you know, the American flag. That American flag stands for freedom. It stands for freedom. The 50 states, you know, United States, and then we got the Christian flag. Stands for freedom as well, but freedom from sin, supposedly. I realize it was a Catholic kind of deal put up, but it represents something. God has given us a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. See that thing? It says it may be displayed because of the truth. Now, have you ever thanked God for the truth? Sitting here tonight, we ought to thank God for truth. This Bible being truth, that we're saved, going to heaven when we die. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 13. You say, what the banner? The banner stands for something. We have banner as a Christian. And what we stand for, what we believe, we have a banner. And we display it. And, I'm not ashamed of that flag. Trump just spoke at the United Nations, I think, today. And he spoke there, and I thank God for America. I thank God for Trump. I thank God the guy's got some guts. And, he might be half crazy, but I'll tell you what, the guy's got some guts. And I thank God for him. And, all these politicians, everybody's got their hands in each other's pockets. And at least he's making them mad, making them upset, and they don't like him because he's not a globalist. And basically, what I look at Trump, I'm thinking the Lord threw a wrench in the Antichrist's his machinery. The Lord threw a wrench in there and slowed it down. So what we do, we pray, Lord, give us to see more people saved. Help us to slow things down so we can see more people saved. But we're praying, Lord, come back. But the Lord used Trump to throw a wrench in the thing and to slow everything down. And thank God for that. Amen. But look in John chapter 13. Christians, we have a banner. We bear a banner. John 13, look at verse, verse 29. Some of them thought because Judas had the bag that, and Jesus said unto them, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that we should give something to the poor." He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was going out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself." And it says, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, yet ye shall seek me. And I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And he says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus said, man, if you love one another, he said, you're showing a new covenant, a new commandment, and you're showing that you're a disciple of mine. Because why? Every religion, there's hatred in it. There's hatred. I don't hate people. I don't hate people at all. I don't like to sin. I hate to sin. I hate the devil. But I tell you what, that's a banner, God says, for truth. And God's given Christians a banner for truth, and that's what we're supposed to bear. Loving one another, showing love for each other, caring about each other, caring about people. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Aren't you glad God loves you?
Amen.
I'm glad he loves us. I'm telling you what, I'm glad he loves us. I'm glad to know when I lay my pillow on my pillow at night, knowing that, Lord, you know what I always do? I lay my head down. I always say, good night, Lord. Watch over things for us. I always do that. Good night, Lord. Let's watch over us tonight. I get on my knees before I go to bed, and I pray, God, watch over my children. I start naming them, grandchildren, children, and everybody I can think of. I start saying, God, put a protection around them tonight. Keep them safe. Loving people. And that's how you you're showing a banner of truth in your life as you're a Christian. And he says the banner over us is love. It's love. And you love one another. And a lot of people say, oh, that's mushy, mushy, mushy. Aren't you glad somebody loved you? I mean, to think if your mother didn't love you. Think if your father didn't love you. Think about somebody, your wife or your husband or your kids don't love you. Man, you can't live without love. You got to have love. And God loves us. And we should love God. And we should love each other. And wanting to show love to each other. When somebody does something wrong, somebody that's going, oh, like stupid idiot. They always, a stupid idiot. Don't do all that. Always do that. Even though you want to. But thank God, that's the banner. Look at Psalm 60 again. Look what it says in verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of truth. God says, I want you to display it. He wants you to display that banner. Like I said, I have no problem holding that American flag. I could stand on the corner and wave it. I could stand on the corner and wave the Christian flag. I could stand on the corner and wave my Bible. Truth. Thank God for truth. Now, America hadn't always stood for truth, but this book has. It says, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that thy beloved may be delivered, saved with thy right hand, and hear me. And God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem, met out the valley of Sukkoth. So the Lord's telling the Jews, he said, man, there's a banner. I always look for the Israeli flag. The Israeli flag, it stands for something. It stands for the nation of Israel. But we have a flag by the way we live. And it's a banner, and it's over us, and it's truth. Loving one another. Do you love one another? Do you show love? Do you display love? I've seen kids in the youth group, they say, I don't like her. I hate her. And that's just the way the world is. They shouldn't be that in a group. Shouldn't it be that in the church? When you're sitting in church, you shouldn't say, oh, there's so-and-so. I hate that person. I hate them. That's stupid. You know, the Bible says that the Lord says how the world knows that you're my disciples by the way you love. Go look over in 1 John. 1 John. I can honestly say I don't have no hatred in my heart towards anybody. I have no hatred. Look at 1 John 4. Because, like I said, in Islam, that's what that young boy that was his father was the head of Hamas, that boy said he never heard. He said, forgive your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. That was in the Beatitudes. And he said, what? He said, I've never heard that before. I've never heard anybody say, forgive them, you know. And Jesus asked, the disciples said to him, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times 7 in a day? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And they was like, oh. You know what they said? Lord, pray for us. Pray for us. Brother Ken hit that thing last week, I think it was. Last Wednesday night. It says, look at 1 John chapter 4. It says, you are of God, little children, verse 4, and have overcome them because the greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. If you display hatred always in your heart, you're not displaying God. And they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Ye are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, there's that truth, that the spirit and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is, for love is of what? God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. You can't explain Jesus Christ going to a cross and hanging up there and then saying, Father, forgive them, they know what, not what they do, without saying, man, that's God's love on display. You can't explain that other than God's love on display. When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what to do. When was the last time you forgave somebody? When was the last time you forgave them? Just say, I'm sorry. Or you know, I forgive you. A husband, wife, you got to do that. Children, got to do that. Fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, don't walk up to somebody and say, I forgive you. And then if they don't know what you're talking about, they'll go, what in the world? You start a big argument then. Forgive me for what? I didn't do nothing to you. Look at the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. Verse 7 of 1 John 4. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It's saying if you don't love, then you don't know God. I had hatred in my heart before I was saved. I was hate, and I hurt people. And that's why after I got saved, I guess maybe some people accused me of going overboard because I was the other way. I was the other way. I hated people. I hated, I hurt. I stabbed my brother. I hate it. I hate that feeling. I hate that spirit. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's a banner, brother. No matter how you think you can wave, that's a banner, love, showing love. Forgiveness, that's another one. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Sometimes it's hard to forgive people, especially somebody did you wrong, hurt you bad. You know, as a pastor, I've had to forgive people because I've had so many people do us wrong and say bad things about church, bad things about my daughters, bad things about my children. Some might be true, some might not be true. But I've had them just say bad stuff. 30-some years, you know, people say all kinds of stuff. And if I would have allowed it, it would have ate me up. It would have ate my lunch, man. I wouldn't even be in the ministry if I would have allowed it and without forgiveness. And you can't make it as a Christian if you don't forgive. You can't make it. And the Lord hanging on the cross says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgiveness. Look at Ephesians 4. Don't worry, I'm not going soft on you. I'm just realizing what's important. You know, a lot of times as you get older, you get softer or you get meaner. I think it's a good balance having that, you know, that banner of love and having that forgiveness. If you don't, nobody wants to be around somebody that don't forgive. Amen. Because you got bitterness, hatred. Nobody wants to be around somebody that don't love. I don't want to be around them. It's hard to be around people that just always picking and hating and look at that and look at this. And nobody wants to be around that. Right? Amen. Look at, you know, God doesn't even want to be around that. And you say, well, God hates. Yeah, he does. The Bible says, yea, there's six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination on him. I know the verses. God hates some sin. He hates, he's holy. You and I are not as holy as God. God hates some things, and we're supposed to hate some things. We're supposed to hate sin in our own life. But we always hate people, other people's sin more than we hate our own. We always hate everybody else's sin before our own. If you can just be caught up in hating your own sin and dealing with your own self, it'd be a lot better. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. You're going to heaven no matter what. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Linda and I have been married for 42 years, coming up on maybe 43. And we've had to forgive each other. She's had to forgive me a lot of times. I've said stuff and did stuff, and she's had to forgive me. And she's come to me many times. So I'm sorry. And I said, she said, I shouldn't have said that. I said, I'm that's sorry. I like to joke with her. Sometimes she said I go overboard joking, but being married that long, you got to forgive one another. If you've been married that long, if not, you're not gonna be stay married, right? Am I right? Am I wrong? And you got to forgive one another. One time, her and I got in a big argument, and it was over something stupid at the church here. And she was going to leave. And I told you all that story. And she was going to leave. And I kept instigating it. I was instigating and instigating and instigating. And Ruthie had to come to me and say, Dad, stop it. Dad, stop it. She left the house. She threw her stuff together and pulled out. And then I told the kids, I said, she'll call. She'll be back. She'll call back in a few minutes. And 5 minutes after she was gone, she called back. She said, let me talk to Ruth. I said, for what? She said, I'm going to tell her what to fix dinner, how to fix dinner. And I said, well, you're going. Bye. And I hung up. And I said, Ruthie was on me, Rachel was on me, Becky was on me, and Samson, he thought it was funny. But Samson wouldn't say that to Mama because Mama smacked him upside his head. And she come right back. I said, what are you doing back? She said, I come back to fix dinner, then I'm leaving. And so, but I've had to tell her sorry. You know, and you got to do that. Marriage. You got to do that. With the Lord, you got to do it. I don't know how many times I've told God I'm sorry. How many times do you think? You get to heaven. Can you imagine how many times when the Lord says, you know, he pulls out the little calculator in heaven and says, you've asked me for forgiveness more than 490 times a day. I forgave you. How come you wouldn't forgive so-and-so? Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. You do it for the Lord's sake. Certain things you do, you might do it for so-and-so. You might do that for so-and-so. But when it comes to forgiveness, you're doing it for his sake. That's what he wants. Say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I don't know how many times I've told the Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. I didn't want to preach little babies' funerals. I said, Lord, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. And then I did it for him. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. That's a banner we display, forgiveness. I want people to be able to come back to this church knowing that I don't hold a grudge against them. I want people to be able to come back. If they messed up. Yeah, they messed up. They made a mess out of their life. I'm not going to be there to shove their face into it. My job as a pastor is to preach the truth. I'm going to hit it, preach the truth, and let the chips fall where they fall. But when it comes down, when they come back and say, man, I had a lady come in here one day and stood up here and asked me to forgive her at her husband's funeral. And I don't know how many times I've had people come into church and ask me to forgive them. And I said, I've already did. I mean, you're talking about a lady's funeral, her husband's funeral. He killed himself. And when I was a young preacher, I would get mad at people, want to tell them off and, you know, bawl them out. And sometimes they might need that. Sometimes. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit that tells you to do it. Make sure it's not just you and your flesh. A lot of times I wanted to get in the flesh, but I said, Lord, I do this for you. I do it for you. I went to a lady's house one time and knocked on the door, and Eddie was standing at the door. They hadn't been in church for a while. She lived right up in Clayton. And I went back to my truck to write on the note. I wrote a note to say we were come by here on Saturday. We were here, and you weren't home. And all of a sudden I heard the door fly open, and she used all kinds of cuss words. She called Eddie everything, man, in the name. And Eddie stood there like that. She used everything and called him all kinds of names. And Eddie was standing there like this. He was in shock, and he looked at me, and I'll never forget. He stood in front of the door, and that woman just ripped that door open and started cussing him. And he was stood by, and he looked at me, and he went. And I was standing there looking at him, and, nothing surprises me. And I went, hey, sis. And she goes, Oh, it was you, preacher. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was you. She had hair all over her clothes. She had some black leotard thing on and had hair from a dog sleeping in the room with her, I guess. And it was a mess. But I could tell you crazy stories, man. Crazy stuff just happened. You said, did you say, you dirty, rotten, stinking? No, I didn't. No, I just said, you need to get back in church. You need to get back in the Bible. She didn't. She didn't. I expect to see people. I have had people come walking in here and walked in during the service, and they come up and say, you remember me? No, sure don't. And then they start telling me who they are, and then I remember. So I had one lady, that's another story. Anyway, that's the banner we have. We display it. We display it every day. Love, forgiveness, and also take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We display that thing. Faithfulness. We display a banner of faithfulness. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I've been to church here, and I'm not trying to brag. I've been here 30-some years, and I've been here sick. No matter what the circumstances, I've been trying to be faithful. Why? Because I know, like Eric, I like what Eric said to me one night. He says, preacher, I know if I start missing, if I start letting up, he said, then I'll start going down. And when you start letting up, that's when you start going down. And like I always said, God never parts water for anybody going backwards. And what happens is you start shucking your responsibility. You start saying, I can do that another time. I was on somebody today about missing Sunday night church all the time. I just, you know, joking, but I was being serious at the same time. I said, you know, it seemed like you're sick every Sunday night. And but you start doing it, then before long it gets easier, easier, easier. It's like stop reading your Bible. It gets easier and easier. Then you say, oh, I haven't read it in months. And I don't see no difference, but everybody else around you sees it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you can be convinced by your own heart and mind that your labor is not in vain, what happens is the world and the flesh and the devil starts convincing you your labor is just vain. What you're doing is just, it's nothing to it. Even if it's just in the nursery. Becky's been doing the nursery for, I don't know how many years? 6 years. She took over nursery when Lynette left. And she's just been faithful at it, taking care of it, trying to be faithful. And that's what I've always told the kids. You got to be steadfast, be faithful. You take a job, stay with it. Don't quit. And unless something better comes along. Jack Howells, I heard that message he preached on duty, and it just embedded in my mind. I must have listened to it 100 times going down. I've let Squiggy listen to it. And I'd go down the road screaming, and Linda's trying to sleep. I'm in the car screaming and yelling, yeah, right, yeah. It's just like, you know, guys get fired up before a football game. It fires me up. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brother Ron, Brother Squiggy's been steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, always going to the nursing homes, always being faithful. Nobody else shows up. They do it anyway. That's what it's all about. It's not being always pat on the back, always somebody, you know, telling you how great you are and how good you are and because you did that and you've been steady. And I don't need a pat on the back being here at 30-something. I don't need a pat on the back. I appreciate people coming up. You know, one thing that bothers me when Mark or somebody's preaching, and I feel that big. Not that I'm saying I don't appreciate it. I just feel that big when they say, well, when's the last time you hugged your preacher and thanked him for the? And I go, oh, man, I feel like a dirty dog. And everybody, and I appreciate everybody doing it, coming up hugging me, but I just feel like I'm about that big because, you know, I just didn't, I don't want to, that's why I don't like to put my name on anything. I don't want, you know, I just don't want to be, I just want to be faithful, that's all. You know, the Bible says it's required and a man that he'd be a steward that he'd be found faithful. I just want to be faithful. No matter if I'm sick, no matter what, I want to be faithful. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Brother Mark and I was talking about it the other day. He said, you know, I've been coming up there for I don't know how many years. Brother Mark's been coming the longest, I think, 28. Mrs. Nunn, talking about faithfulness, Mrs. Nunn. How long you been here, Miss Nunn? 31 years. No, she'd be sitting right there when nobody else would be here. And then Ron came in, and then Squiggy and all, and they just it's been faithful. When you start backing off, before long, you'll think, man, I've backed off a lot. And 1 year, and then Mark started coming. And when you know, that's a banner. And trying to live for God all the years that have been saved, for me just to throw it away. It's like I've heard these preachers, you know, they quit. And there's a guy that I really thought a lot of, really, and he just quit his church, went to Florida, and you wouldn't even know that guy's a Christian, the way he looks, the way he's living. He's just fishing all the time. He's out fishing. And just like, let the world go to hell. Let the world just go to hell. That's not what we're supposed to do. We have a banner. We're supposed to display it. Whenever a military army went into a war, they would display their banner. And you look at the way they each company would display a banner. Whatever company they was in, they displayed it to let you know. You know, and the Bible tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. I know this thing, when I stand before God, is what I've been doing has not been vain. Hassie, before she died, I was in the room, Brother Jack and Hassie. And Hassie was crying. And I was crying, all the kids crying, and Hassie asked me to forgive her for not being faithful. And I told her, don't have to say that. You don't have to say that to me. And she grabbed my hand, and she said, promise me one thing. I said, what's that? She said, promise you'll never give up on my children or my grandkids. I promised her. And I'm going to keep that promise. I pray for the kids and the grandkids. Sunday morning, sometimes I pray, God, bring them back in here. Get them in. I want to be faithful, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for I know that my labor is not in vain. Amen. When Hassie took my hand, I never forget who was it got married here? It was Jacob. Was it Jacob got married? Was it you that got married here? And I said, I ain't going to marry no more Paytons. Was it you? Who? Bethany. That's what it was. Eric and Bethany. I got up and I said, I'm not going to marry no more Paytons. All these Paytons. First one was at me. Was Hassie. She got right up here and grabbed my hand. She was real sweet. She grabbed my hand. She said, now you didn't mean that, did you? I said, what? She said that you weren't going to marry no more patients. I said, no, Ma, I didn't mean that. Are you steadfast? You want to be unmovable, always knowing that our labor is not in vain. That's a banner. You can carry that banner proudly in the battle. You're going to go to battle tomorrow morning or even tonight. You go to battle. You can carry that banner being faithful. That Psalm 60 says, it says, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that they may be displayed because of the truth. Wouldn't that be something we get to heaven? I believe this. I don't know why, I just believe this. I don't have no scripture on it. I know the Lord's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you see a military, and the Bible likens the church. I mean, I know it's the bride of Christ, but it's also military. But you see these military guys, you see them on the news, they're standing up there, and they got all this metal on them. And that stands for something. That stands for service. It stands for loyalty. It stands for bravery, all those things. Courage in the battle. And then they give a special medal for somebody that's tried to save their brother or another soldier in the middle of battle. And the president gives a medal to Congressional Medal of Honor, and puts it around his neck. I believe the Lord's going to do that for us. There's going to be some kind of display. It's going to be something. And faithfulness. And when he serves us, the Bible says we're going to sit down at that table and he serves us. I'll give you this last banner. The last banner is witnessing. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. A great banner. 1:8. That banner over me is love. Banner over me is faithfulness. Banner over me is forgiveness. The banner over me is being a witness, witnessing to people, telling people about the Lord, never being ashamed of him. Because the Bible says if you're ashamed of him and his words, then he'll be ashamed of you. Never be ashamed of him. I realize some people can get backslid and they don't open their, but isn't it something how I know guys that would call me up in the middle of the night drunk, and they'd be in a bar drinking, and they'd be witnessing to people. Who are you talking to so-and-so? I just told them about Jesus coming back. Who are you telling them about Jesus coming back? And they'd be drunk. I said, how can you talk to a drunk when they're drunk? But I'd get on the phone in the middle of the night. My wife knows. She said, who's that calling you? And I'd be on the phone telling them about Jesus Christ and all that. People probably wouldn't even remember the next day. But it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight. I mean, those disciples, the Lord promised the disciples and to those that witnessed power. Power of the Holy Ghost. And we was talking about the Holy Ghost on Wednesday nights. Power of the Holy Ghost come upon you. And now we got the Holy Ghost in us. He's in us. If we just let him loose in our lives, you'd be witnessing. And it's something when people, you walk in the stores, I watch people, I look at people's faces. They're not happy. They're not smiling. You walk in whistling and smiling, everybody thinks, what's wrong with him? He must be nutty. Watch him. He's crazy. Whistle. I'm riding down the road today, and I was whistling with Jackson. We just whistling, and I was whistling a song, and he was laughing. And I look over at him, and I was watching him. He was going. He's trying to do. It's funny, man. It was funny. I laughed so hard, and I kept whistling, and he kept trying to do it. So that's a banner that we have. And I'm not ashamed of the banner. I'm not ashamed of the American flag. I'm not ashamed of the Christian flag. I'm not ashamed of that banner of truth that we have, loving people.
Preacher, yesterday afternoon I went to see my buddy, Sergeant Major, who had the open heart surgery we were praying for. And I was shocked at how well he looked when I see him. It's his answer to prayer.
Amen.
He going home tomorrow. And it's funny, I sat in a room with just me and him in there, and we were talking. And I'm giving him a stack of tracks. I said, you ain't got nothing to hand these out. He said, you're right, I don't. And this lady walked in the room, and she walked over to his bed, and he said, I don't have no money. She said, I'm not here for your money. She said, I'm here for the chaplaincy of the hospital.
Yeah.
He said, I don't need your chaplain. I got my preacher right here.
Amen.
And I said, that's awesome. Those guys are working over where I stand.
Amen. That's good, bro. That is good.
I thank God. You know, they think didn't look good for him for the first 3 or 4 days. He was on the ventilator and everything. And when I went in there and seen him yesterday, I said, man, God's good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The Lord is good. Amen. Be a blessing to see him in church with him.
Yep.
Just keep on witnessing.
Yep.
That's the banner. Don't give up. Don't give up showing love to people, caring about people, and forgiving people. And just being faithful, and don't back up. Don't let up. The Bible says that when it's talking about 1 Corinthians 15, it's talking about the rapture or in the catching away. But then it says be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always do it. And the Lord will reward you for those things that you've done. Not only up there is a blessing. God rewards you here and there. You get blessings here and there. And you can't beat that. That's the best pension plan you could ever have. Brother Ken, come on, take a prayer request tonight.